This is Carol Foster of 2 Timothy 2:15 Resources, and I am so excited that you're going to join me today as we study God's Word. The response new Messianic believers give when asked why they initially visited a Messianic congregation is, "We knew there had to be more." As we study together, we will begin to see that yes, indeed, there has to be more. For additional study aids to assist you in studying along with us, go to our website, sectim.org. Welcome back to There Has to Be More. We're currently in a study that I've titled An Overview of the Tanakh, or the Old Testament. We had completed our study of chapter 2, verse 1. If you missed our last study, or you would like to catch up, you can do so by going to www.HebrewNation.Torah Study and There Has to Be More. You can also download the free PDF files to assist you in the study, as well as study aids from previous studies, from my website, www.sectim.org. Please sign in, as it will allow me to know if these worksheets are being used. In our last session together, we had begun studying chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. I want to read verses 1 through 3 so that we have a beginning point for this session's study. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed, and all their hosts. By the seventh day God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. As we read these verses, and we discovered they contained four very distinct phrases, the first three of which are parallel, each possessing seven words in the Hebrew, with the midpoint of each line having the same phrase, the seventh day. A literal translation displays the structure. When you see the pronoun it, now remember that refers to the seventh day. This emphasis here is mine. I want to read these two verses again with the emphasis being mine, so that we can clearly define these phrases. By the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. This is one of the several ways that Moshe highlighted the importance of the final day. In later Israel, the seventh was displaced with a customary word, Sabbath, and its ritual observance became the preeminent sign of Jehovah's covenant with Israel. Since verse 1 declares that creation was completed before the seventh day is introduced in verse 2, the passage indicates that no work occurred on the seventh day. We found that in Exodus, or Shemot, 40, verse 33, has the parallel expression, "And so Moshe finished the work," which refers to Moshe's previous work on the tabernacle before the endowment of the glory cloud. The parallel lines of chapter 2, verse 2, should be read together. Elohim completed his work by the seventh day, verse 2a, resulting in his rest, that's verse 2b. Repetition of creation Sabbath language is found in the construction of the tabernacle. Moshe saw all the work the people had done, and he blessed them. Linkage between creation Sabbath and Moshe's tabernacle binds Elohim's first work at creation with Moshe's newly directed work among Israel. The rare wording Ruach Elohim, or Spirit of Elohim, of chapter 1, verse 2, appears again in Shemot, or Exodus chapter 31, verse 3, where Bezalel receives a spirit for the purpose of constructing the tabernacle. This tie between Elohim, the cosmic creator, Israel's, and our Redeemer, was formed at Sinai and explains the special importance given to Sabbath observances by the believer's community. After the construction of the wilderness tabernacle, the Sabbath was deemed the sign of the covenant between Jehovah and the nation of Israel, and between believers in Yeshua, our Messiah, today. According to the tabernacle narrative found in Shemot, chapters 25 through 40, Sabbath and creation's rest meet in the holy place. Elohim, the Creator, who sanctified the seventh day because of rest, is the covenant Lord, who sanctifies his people and tabernacles among them. As with man, made in the image of Elohim, the early tabernacle also formed a pattern revealed by Jehovah to Moshe at Sinai. As we'll see in chapter 3, Elohim, the Creator, had instituted a pattern of worship that man was totally aware of. Worship, then, is related to the Creator order itself, which existed before the formation of Israel and in sanctuary at Sinai. Worship is for all humanity, all those created in the image of Elohim. The observance of Jehovah's sacred custom of weekly and annual Sabbaths was and is an expression of and an attestation to Jehovah's presence as our Creator, Covenant Lord. As with seventh day, the same phrase, his work, in the Hebrew, occurs three times in verses 2 and 3 to emphasize that creation was Elohim's work alone. Creation's work, Melakah, has its later human parallel in the construction of the tabernacle by skilled artisans who were inspired by the Lord, as we can read in Shemot or Exodus. Work also has the meaning of common human labor. When the name work is given to Elohim's 6 days of creation, human work is given honor, elevated, and raised up to the highest conceivable degree as being the copy of his model. The same repetition appears for the phrase, he had done, and the critical term, rested, or Shabbat, occurs twice in verses 2 and 3. The repetition underscores that the end of his work was related to the completion of creation, not due to fatigue. There was simply nothing left to do. The created order was whole, requiring only the sustaining grace of Elohim's superintendence. The verb Shabbat, or rested, means the cessation of creative activity. It has the same sense in its only other occurrence in Bereshit, or Genesis, where Jehovah promises the post-flood world that the times and seasons will never cease. We can see this in chapter 8, verse 22 of Bereshit. Elsewhere we find the scriptures state Elohim rested. The original language in these verses used the word na'u, settle down, repose, or rest, in Shemot or Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, and the word napash, refresh, recover, or breathe freely, again in Shemot, this time in chapter 31, verse 7. But just to again emphasize, here in Bereshit, chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, the word used is Shabbat, and it speaks of the absence of work. He abstained from work. There is another meaning of the word Shabbat listed in Strong's Enhanced Hebrew Lexicon. That is, celebrate. This day, the Shabbat, is therefore set as a day in which no labor or work was to be done. And it was also a day to celebrate Elohim, the creator of everything. Of the creation's week's days, this seventh day is uniquely blessed and sanctified by the Creator, Elohim. The specific explanation in the text for the seventh day's special hallowedness is that Elohim ceased from his work. He has already blessed the created order, enabling it to propagate, but here the dimension of time, the seventh day, is said to be blessed of Elohim. This blessing is explained by the subsequent act of consecration, which is the first consecration found in the Bible. When Elohim sanctified the day, he declared that the day was especially devoted to him. This was the charge in the Ten Words, or better known as the Ten Commandments. For later Israel to observe the Sabbath by keeping it holy as a special possession of the Lord, as we read in Shemot chapter 20. I'm going to read verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. The seventh day was subsequently called a holy Sabbath unto the Lord, when no work was to be done by human or animal. Not even those that were not part of the Jewish community were to adhere to the Sabbath if they were a sojourner or aliens, strangers dwelling among them. The prophets speak of the Lord's Sabbath as my holy day or my Sabbaths. Consecration in the Tanakh meant designating or setting aside persons, places, and things that were regarded sacred by virtue of their relationship to or possession by the Lord, who is holy. Examples of this are the setting aside the firstborn, the tabernacle, and the priests. As I was doing my research for this study, I found that in the Babylonian creation stories, the gods are freed from their labors after the creation of humans, who were formed for the sole purpose of serving the deity's needs. Jehovah's Sabbath, however, is not aversion to labor, but the celebrative cessation of a completed week, whereby he expresses his mastery over time by sanctifying it. The observance of Sabbath was unique to ancient Israel, just as it is for us as believers in Messiah today. Whereas in the Hebrew calendar and those of other peoples during that time period, the days, months, and years were related to the solar and lunar cycles, the Sabbath is not tied to any celestial movement. Jehovah is wholly outside of nature. The Ten Words, or Ten Commandments, first directly ties Sabbath observance with a creation rest, furnishing the theological reason for the Hebraic practice. Much of the Ten Words terminology echoes Bereshit chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Sabbath, as given in the fourth word, or commandment, then occurs as a synonym for seventh. As in the direct allusion to our previous verses, we see that Sabbath is substituted for seventh. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. The seventh day of creation, as a consequence, is viewed as Jehovah's Sabbath. Thus, for the Hebrews and those that are followers of Messiah that observe the Sabbath, it takes on cosmic meaning. By the commemoration of Sabbath, Elohim and his creatures share in the celebration of the good creation, and his people are enjoined to enter into the rhythm of work and joyful rest. Embracing Elohim's Sabbath rest meant then, and it still means now, experiencing the sense of completeness and well-being that Elohim had accomplished at creation in behalf of all human life. Observance of a seventh day among Israel, however, predates the Sinai commands or instructions. In the wilderness sojourn, there is a Sabbath to the Lord, in which the gathering of manna is suspended for a seventh day, as we read in Shemot chapter 16, verses 21 through 39. The passage obviously anticipates the Sinai regulation, but the basis, as in the fourth word or commandment, must be the creation. For the Hebrews, then, the world has always known Sabbaths from the beginning. Sabbath existed before man celebrated it, as Elohim walked with the man and the woman in the garden. Shabbat continues today, whether or not Elohim's creatures acknowledge it. The practice of a sacred seventh was extended beyond the cycle of weeks to sacred years, festivals, and days. The fourth word, or commandment, therefore, united the word of creation and the regulating word of the religious order for the newly created Israel. Israel's Sabbaths, like Elohim's Sabbath rest, was sanctified and set apart as a special day of worship and celebration. The seventh day then pointed them and us to a day of rejoicing over the created work of Elohim. A. Herschel wrote in his book, The Earth is the Lord's and the Sabbath, "It is a day on which we are called upon to share what is eternal in time, to turn from the results of creation to the mystery of creation, from the world of creation to the creation of the world." Also, the Sabbath day was tied by Moshe to the redemptive purposes of Jehovah for Israel. Devarim, or Deuteronomy's Ten Words, present this second reading of Sabbath and relates its observance to the historic deliverance of Israel from Egyptian slavery. Sabbath released human and beast from the labors of the week and likewise the Redeemer, or Jehovah, released Israel from its slavery. Together, the two aspects of the fourth commandment capture the twofold meaning of the seventh day for us as well. A day of rest from our labor, and a celebration of Elohim as Creator and Redeemer. The redeeming work of Jehovah continues as expressed through Israel's history, and in the particular ministry of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus, our Messiah. The idea of rest was later related to the land of promises that lay before Israel. Rest in Canaan was Israel's destiny, as we can read in Shemot chapter 33, verse 14. But the people failed to enter their rest due to disobedience, as we see in Bimidbar, or Numbers, chapter 14, verses 28 through 30. The second generation awaited its possession of the land of Canaan, and eventually obtained it with blessing. The land experienced its Sabbaths and Jubilees, as found in Vayikra, or Leviticus, chapter 25, verses 4 and 11. As a symbolic recognition of the land as Jehovah's provision of rest for Israel. It was Jehovah who owned the land of rest, and Israel, as aliens, entered into that land only at the invitation of Jehovah and by the price of redemption, as we read in Vayikra 25, verses 23 and 24. The land, moreover, shall not be sold permanently, for the land is mine, for you are but aliens and sojourners with me. Thus, for every piece of your property, you are to provide for the redemption of the land. Also, the theological significance of creation's seventh day is prophetical. The seventh day has no closing refrain, evening and morning. The seventh day has no end, and therefore is viewed as eternal. Whereas the human work week recurs after each Sabbath, the Sabbath rest of Jehovah is eternal, since creation's work is finished. Sabbath is taken up by the Brit Hadashah, or the New Testament, and interpreted in the context of the new Moshe. The theology of this perpetual rest was expounded by the writer to the Hebrews, who spoke of a Sabbath rest that yet awaits those who are in Yeshua HaMashiach, or Yeshua our Messiah. Let's read these verses found in the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 3 through 11. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has said something concerning the seventh day. And God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience, he again fixes a certain day, today, saying through David, after so long a time, just has been said before, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works. So God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. The writer of Hebrews bound together the two motifs of Canaan's land of rest, drawing on Tehillim, or Psalms 95, verses 7b through 11, and of creation's Sabbath rest, quoting Bereshit, chapter 2, verse 2. Let me read verse 2 again, just to bring it back to our memory. By the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Just as Moshe's generation had failed to possess their promised rest, the writer forewarned his readers not to commit the same failure through disbelief in Messiah. For the Apostle Shaul, or Paul, Sabbath was a foreshadowing of the eternal realities of the Lord and the church, as we can read in Colossians 2, verses 16 through 17. Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink, or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come. but the substance belongs to Christ. The old signs of circumcision, dietary laws, and Sabbath observance was established as boundary markers for the people of the covenant. Unfortunately, many believers in Messiah today do not read or interpret the Brit Hadashah through the lens of Jehovah's Word as given in the Tanakh. As followers of Messiah, we too are to follow Torah as it applies to us today, not out of obligation or thinking that it will make us righteous or save us, but because, as Yeshua himself said in his discussion with the rich young man in Matthew or Matthew chapter 19, verse 17, and he said to him, "Why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you wish to enter into life, keep my commandments." And again in Yochanan or John chapter 14, verse 15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And then in that same chapter, verses 20 and 21, "In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him." And in Yochanan 15, verses 9 through 11, "Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full." I seem to have gotten off on a rabbi trail, but it is important that we understand that Torah is for today. Keeping what is applicable to us today does not save you, but we have just read that if we love him, Jehovah, we need to do what Yeshua has done and live as Yeshua lived, in obedience to the Father's instructions, his Torah, because we love him. Now, back on track. We had just completed our study of chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, and now we're moving on to verses 4 through 25. Remember, we are in the first subsection of our main topic, Elohim's plan for his creation. We had identified this particular section as the people, Adam and Eve as parents of the world's population. This section covers chapter 1, verse 26, through chapter 2, verse 25. We've completed our study of chapter 1, verses 26, through chapter 2, verse 3. And now, as we move on to our last portion of our subsection, we begin in chapter 2, verse 4. Some believe that chapter 2, verses 4 through 25, records a different account of creation than the account given in chapter 1. This belief arises, in part, from viewing chapter 2, verse 4, as an introduction to what follows it, rather than a conclusion to what preceded it. Whichever view is taken, these verses actually presuppose and elaborate on events that happened on the sixth day of creation, as mentioned in chapter 1, verses 24 through 31. Thus, Bereshit, chapter 1, outlines Elohim's creation of the world and everything in it, while chapter 2 details the creation of man and woman. This subsection also explains the moral context for humanity. Elohim displayed his right to dictate where humans live, what they're to do, and even what they were to eat. Elohim alone is sovereign king. The great expression of his will in the laws of Moshe and the teachings of Messiah could continue his right to determine how believers live, what they do, and even what they eat. Elohim originally made all his creatures to be vegetarians, as we can read in verses 29 and 30. His command regarding this would change only after the flood, as we will see in chapter 9, verses 3. We see that verse 4 contains a statement, "This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made heaven and earth." Join us next time as we continue our study, an overview of the Tanakh. Thank you for joining us today as we delve into the beautiful truths of God's Word to indeed discover that there has to be more. I pray that the Word applied to your daily life will bring a deeper understanding of His love letter written just to you. Let me remind you that we have additional study aids to assist you with our studies together on our website. It's secTIM.org. May this day fill you with the love of God, joy, and shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken in your life.